We are holding on your Dimul Amud base, about the middle of the Amud line against Nami. We mentioned yesterday we had our Mishnah had listed a number of the Chayvei Malkus. We started by mentioning throughout the Mishnah we mentioned a bunch of Chayvei Krisus and Misa based in, Chayvei Krisus and Misa B'dei Shamayim. We did not list any Chayvei Misa based in. That would be Chayvei Malkus. Right. And we discussed that then there's a three-way machloikus on that subject. Who exactly is Chayvei Malkus? Is it, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it can be a person who's over on something that is Chayvei Misa based in, or Karis, or
less than
that.
Both.
So you can have both. Well, that was our assumption, that you can have both, right? You have Rabbi Akiva who says that you can that if it's Mrs. Bastin, you can only have Mrs. Bastin. You don't have Malkus. You don't have Malkus for Chayvei Mrs. Bastin, which is who our Mishnah goes like. And we had Rabbi Yitzchak.
Or the other way around. The one who has Malkus doesn't have
Mrs. Bastin. Right. But in other words, if it's a Chiyuv of Mrs. Bastin, then you don't have then you don't have Malkus. And then we have again, we're going to see. There's two possible ways of understanding Rabbi Akiva. Does he mean that with such Avedus, it's true, you could get one or the other, but you're never going to get both? Or is it that Mr. Umalkus, but you can never get both, but you might get one or the other? Or does he mean when it's Mrs. Bastin, there's never a possibility of Malkus? It's always going to be Mrs. Bastin or nothing. Well, we'll get to that soon.
Which is
Mrs. Bastin if there's Aiden Basra and nothing otherwise.
Yeah, so it's the same way of saying
no, because in other words, the first way of looking at it would be that if the Aiden were to give him Asra for Misa, he would get Misa, and if they gave him Asra for Malkus, he would get Malkus.
Right.
The second way of saying it is even if they give him Asra for Malkus, he's not going to get anything. He's not going to get Malkus because it's a Chiyu of Mrs. Bastin, and he's not going to get Mrs. Bastin because there was no Asra for Misa. So we'll discuss that soon. But anyway, that's Rabbi Akiva. And then we had the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that even an Aveda that's high of Kares, you don't get Malkus for it. According to him, it's Kares or not. So we discussed yesterday then where Rabbi Shmuel gets his reasoning from, because he says all you need in order for something to be high of Malkus, he says there are three criteria. It needs to be a lav. It needs to be a lav sheyesh bei maaseh, where there's some action involved. And it has
Rabbi Akiva.
This is Rabbi Shmuel.
Rabbi Shmuel.
Right. And it has to be that it's not a lav on nitchikl essay. It has to be that it's not something that can be corrected by a following essay. Other than that, if it fits all those three criteria, then it has Malkus regardless. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that would include Mrs. Bastin as well. So now we're up to discussing where Rabbi Akiva gets his opinion from. It's the middle of your
Gemara.
So we said Rabbi Shmuel says that he has his three criteria. As long as something meets those three criteria, then it's Chayv Malkus.
Where did he get that point?
The three criteria we said before. We started by saying that he learned two of them from Vehifla Shemus Mois Dishmer Lassus, Vehifla Shemus Makoscha, and the third one from Chasima, from the fact that the Torah puts together Malkus together with Lois Achsim Shur Vidisha. In the end, we said we don't even need a separate limud from Lois Achsim Shur Vidisha. That alone meets all three criteria. Okay.
Now Rabbi Akiva.
Now for Rabbi Akiva. My timer. What is Rabbi Akiva's reason that he says that you can only get Malkus or Mrs. Bastin, but not both? Because the Pasuk says Kedei Bishar, sorry. The Pasuk says that you give the person Malkus in accordance with his wickedness.
Which Pasuk?
The Pasuk, when it describes Malkus, when it describes how to give Malkus. It says that they give him Malkus Kedei Bishar, sorry, in accordance with his wickedness. Implying Mishum Risha Achatat Machayv, you can only be Machayv him on the basis of one wickedness. V'yat Machayv Mishum Shtei Risha. You can't be Machayv him on two grounds. In other words, there's no double jeopardy.
Today Risha seems to be saying proportionately.
But that's the thing. The fact that it says Risha Soy in the singular means only one Risha. So therefore, you cannot give him two punishments. You cannot give him two punishments for the same issue. Now, we're just going to discuss soon how that relates to Chorus. We'll get back to that. But first, we have to ask Rabbi Shmuel. What is Rabbi Shmuel's answer to that? He says, Hanimili Misa Omoman, a Malkus Omoman. I agree, you can't have Shtei Rishoyim. But that's when you're talking about, for example, you can't give a person Misa and make him pay money. Or you can't give a person Malkus and make him pay money. That's the concept of Kamla Bidudabamine, which Rabbi Shmuel agrees to also.
Two different
sorts of punishments. Aval Misa or Malkus, but when it comes to death and Malkus, Misa Arichtahi. It's really, Rabbi Shmuel says, it's all one long death. Because Malkus is, so the Gemara talks about in Sanhedrin, and the Gemara uses an expression that Malkus is Kotla Palga. It's like a half killing, sort of. So therefore, the point is, and in fact, we're going to learn later on in the parak, conceivably a person could die of malchus. I mean, they try to evaluate ahead of time. They evaluate ahead of time to see how much he can take, but it can happen that they mis-evaluate him and they give him malchus, and he does end up dying from it. No, as long as they kept within the proper amount, that's fine. If the guy gives them one extra over the amount, then he would be chayav golos. Then it would be like we learned in the previous parak. It would be considered like a killer b'shoigeg, and he'd have to run to the Arei Mikvah. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says that when do you say that you don't do shtei reshoyes is when he's talking two different kinds of things, misa and mamon, malchus and mamon, abel misa and malchus. But when you come to misa and malchus, misa arichti, it's all one long death, and therefore it's not two different reshoyes. Therefore, you can have it. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that. Okay, all the Rabbi Akiva. So now we have to ask, according to Rabbi Akiva, if you're going to say you can't have shtei reshoyes, ihachi, if you're going to say so, chayv krisis nami. Shouldn't you say the same thing? It's true of also Chai v'Krisis. He's going to get Kores and he's going to get Malchus. My amateur Masa Truva. What are you going to say? Because as Rabbi Shmuel, as
possible,
on the face of it, not Kedei Rosh Hashanah. That's the Gemara's question.
The Gemara's question is
if Rabbi Akiva is saying that you can only give him one punishment, Kedei Rosh Hashanah, how can you say if he's Chai of Malchus, you also give him Malchus, then it comes out he's getting a double punishment. He's getting Malchus. He's Chai of Kores, you give him Malchus. It comes out that he's getting two punishments. It comes out he's getting Malchus by the Beis Din Shamasa and Kores by the Beis Din Shamayla. How can you do that? My Amrit. So what are you gonna say? The argument. Hello, bro. What are you gonna say? The argument that Rabbi Akiva used at the top of the Amud Shim also Tshuva, that he said not necessarily are they going to get Kores because after all a person can do Tshuva and be exempted from Kores, whereas that's not possible with Mrs. Beis Din. All fine and good, but Hashem Yisla Abdi. The fact of the matter is, at this point, the person has not yet done Truva. Therefore, how can you give him Malchus now?
Nobody knows.
How can you give him Malchus now, figuring that then maybe later he'll do Truva and he'll be Potter from Kares, if on the face of it, you don't know whether he's ever going to do Truva. Therefore, it might end up that he's getting double jeopardy over here, and we're learning from the Potter you can't do that. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva should say that doesn't work. Later on in the Masechta, by the way, towards the end of the Perek, we talk about the idea. We say that if a person gets Malchus, they're potter from Kares. But actually, the Rishonim talk about, based on that, on the mission over there, based on our Gemara over here, does that mean automatically, or does it mean only if he also does Truva? Does it mean that automatically, if a person gets Malchus, they're immediately potter from Kares?
How would they know that he doesn't get Kares?
The Eivishter knows. That's not the point. The point is that for our purpose, how can you give him Malchus when you don't know whether there's still Kares hanging over his head? And Tosfos spells out the point over here. It is true, for example, that it is true with Chayv and Mrs. Beis Din, even though they do Tshuva, then Beis Din doesn't then Beis Din can't exempt him. But that's all. Then fine. They don't exempt him. But over here we're talking about that. In that case, it may end up that he gets a double punishment. Therefore, that can't be helped basically. But in this case, where you know that there's Kores hanging over his head, then how can you give him how can you give him Malchus, not knowing whether he may end up getting Kores or not? So Amar Rabbahu, so Rabbahu answers to that. Yes, but Mefeirush Ribs Torah Chayv Krisis LaMalchus. Yes, but the Torah specifically states that people who are Chayv Kores also or instead get Malchus. And the reason is, how do we know the Torah says this explicitly? Because the Torah tells we have a Gzeira Shava. When it comes to Kores, the Torah uses the expression La'ene Bnei Amam. By Malchus, it has the expression Menikla Achicha La'enecha. Your brother will be degraded in your eyes. So from that, we have a Gzeira Shava that a person who is Chayv Kores can be Chayv Malchus.
What's the
Gzeira Shava is La'ene and La'enecha.
How do you make the
similar word, la'ene and la'enecha.
And
therefore, we would learn from that that because, by krisis where it says la'ene, v'nichasu la'ene b'nei amam, you can apply malchus, which on which it says la'enecha, to such a person. Therefore,
you can have two.
By krisis, it uses the word la'ene.
Yeah.
By malchus, it uses the word la'enecha.
Right.
The Gzeira Shava would teach us that chayv krisis can be chayv malchus. So therefore, there you go. It says so explicitly, and therefore, that's it. Maybe it's not Kedei Rosh Hashanah. You're right. Maybe he's getting a double punishment in that case. Fine. Gzeiras HaKosev, but that's how it is.
So Xeris Shavuot seems to contradict a fascist basis.
It's okay, yeah. You have Kedei Rishosa. You're saying that there is a concept of Kedei Rishosa. But obviously the Torah is overriding it by giving us this Xeris Shavuot. However, Maskefor of Abba Bar Memo, however, of Abba Bar Memo asks on that, Yehoki Chayvim Mrs. Nami Nigmura Me'enei La'enecha. In that case, then you could make the same Xeris Shavuot between Mrs. Beistin and Malkus. By Mrs. Beistin, for example, you have by Avodah Zarah, where the Torah says in me'ena yoda nefta l'shgaga, that if it was concealed from the eyes of the congregation, meaning the Sanhedrin, made a mistake in halacha, as we will learn in Masechta Horeis in a few months, says the Shem, that they made a mistake and determined that a certain type of Avodah Zarah is actually mutter, and the people followed it and did that. Then later on, they bring a power, they bring the Seiri Avodah Kechavim, they bring the goat that's brought for inadvertent worship of Avodah Zarah on behalf of the Tzibur.
So it's called,
you have the Purim and Nisrofim, and you have the Seiri and Nisrofim. This is how you bring actually a power and a Seiri. Well, whatever, we'll learn about the details of that in Horeis. The point is that you have the word me'ene in connection with Avodah Zarah, which is something that if it were done b'meizid, you'd be chayiv Mrs. Beistin. You have the word la'inecha by Malkus. If you're going to make a Xeris Shavuot like that, you can make a Xeris Shavuot by the same way to say that if a person is chayiv Mrs. Beistin, instead, or additionally, they can get Malkus also. The same Xeris Shavuot. And then in that case, you wouldn't use the Kedei Rishosai thing at all. Then you would use Kedei Rishosai in the way that Rabbi Shmuel uses it, to say that you can't have Misa and Mamon, you can't have Malkus and Mamon, but you would say you could have Misa and Malkus, and you could have Karis and Malkus. Same as Zeru Shava. The answer is, Donin La'enei Mila'enecha, Ve'en Donin Me'enei Mila'enecha. The difference is, you can learn La'enei from La'enecha because those are more similar words. You can't learn me'enei from le'enecha, which are not as similar. Sure, they both have the same shortish ayin, but they're less similar. Me'enei versus le'enecha. Yeah. Right. Says my na kamine. So what's the difference? Who says you can't use dissimilar words for Xeris Shavuot? In fact, you find an example where you use even words with a different shortish for Xeris Shavuot. Va'tana d'veda b'shmol, v'shava kayin uva kayin zuri shiva zuri bia. You find by the case of a house that has taras, where one time the pasuk says in one pasuk the it says v'shav ha'koyin, the koyin returns and sees that the saras is there again, or he sees that the saras is spread. A couple of pesukim later you have a v'vah ha'koyin, the koyin comes and sees that the saras is spread, and we learn gzeira shava from those two, zuri shiva v'zuri bia, that we make gzeira shava between those two to say that there is a similarity between what happens in the second week and in the third week of the house's quarantine. It's a little bit complicated, but the gist of it is, unlike with people and with clothes, where you can have a maximum of 2 weeks to determine whether it's saras or not, by houses you need a maximum of 3 weeks, and we learn that, part of that we learn from this Xeris Shavuot, so the Shavuot.
So the same Xeris Shavuot is also somehow dissimilar, so we want to say...
Exactly. Yeah. Just like we do a Xeris Shavuot between Rishav and Uva, the same way we should do it, which is completely dissimilar, right?
Right?
We should be able to make a Xeris Shavuot between Me'enei and La'enecha. Va'oid, and besides that, anyway, Ligma Me'enei Mila'enei, Dahagomu La'enei Mila'enecha. And besides that, anyway, so if you're going to say you have to have the, if you're going to say Fakir, you have to have the exact same words, fine, La'enei and La'enecha is not the exact same word either.
It's small. Close.
Yeah, but still, me'enei and le'enecha is still not that much more. It's not that much more. It's not that much further away. You still have
right.
The word. Yeah. So therefore, if you're going to learn one, you might as well learn the other.
Much closer than Bia and Shiva.
Exactly. So in other words, right. So the Gemara's question was twofold. Number one, you don't need similar words because you see you can do v'shav and uva. Number two, even if you're going to argue, as the Gemara does in some other places, so the Gemara brings this v'shav akarin uva akarin in a number of places. In several other places where it brings it, the Gemara says that's true. You could make a Xeris Shavuot even from dissimilar words. However, if we have other words that are identical, we would rather use them for the Xeris Shavuot. It's more logical if Xeris Shavuot applies to them. So the Gemara's second question over here is, after all, you don't have exactly the same word in both places anyway. You're either doing le'enei versus le'enecha, or you're doing me'enei to le'enecha. Neither one is exactly the same anyway.
The shoresh
is all the same, right? But so therefore, manafshach, either you shouldn't do the Xeris Shavuot at all, or you should be doing both of them. Why are you doing one and not the other? Okay. So the Gemara says,
so
we seem to have slugged that up, yeah. We don't seem to have a source for Rabbi Akiva to be distinguishing between Chrysos and Mrs. Beistin. Okay. So the Gemara says, Kiblo minei Rav Shmuel Barab Yitzchok. Rav Shmuel Barab Yitzchok received this. Now, what does this mean, receive this? Rashi says two explanations. One is he accepted that Rav Abba bar Memel has a valid question, but then he was able to give an answer to answer Rav Abba bar Memel's upshlag. Rav Abba bar Memel is arguing why you're using only one Zeta Shava and not the other. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok agreed, you have a good question. Here's a way to answer it. The second thing Rashi says is Kibla Minei means that Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok learned from Rav Abahu, who said the original thing, Befeder Shirub Satara Chayvet Krisis Lamalkus, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok learned from Rav Abahu, Kibla Minei. He received from him an answer to the question. So either Kibla Minei means he accepted it's a valid question, or he learned or he received an answer from Rav Abahu. Anyway, the answer is, when we say Kedei Rishotai, we said Mishum Risha Achasat Mechayve, you can only be Mechayvim on the basis of one Risha, you can only give him one punishment. V'yat Mechayvim Mishum Shtei Rishoyes, and you can't give him two. However, the detail is, V'risha HaMasurul Beisin HaKos Medaber. The Pasuk is only exempting us from things that are subject to the authority of Beisin. So therefore, in other words, that is why there's a difference between Kares and Mrs. Beisin, because Kares is not under the jurisdiction of Beisin, and Mrs. Beisin is. So therefore, when we say that is why, so it's not a question of doing one Zeta Shava versus the other. When the Torah tells us, Kedei Rishasai, we're meant to understand that that only applies to things that are under the jurisdiction of Beisin. Therefore, we don't need any of these Zeta Shavas at all. All we need is, once we have that fact, then fine. We know automatically, if you're Chayav Mrs. Beisin, you cannot also be Chayav Malkus. On the other hand, if you're Chayav Karis, you could also be Chayav Malkus, because Karis is not under the jurisdiction of Beisin.
Malkus
is only one Risha. It's only one punishment that Beisin is giving him. So in other words, Kedei Rishasai, Rabbi Shmuel had said that I agree, Kedei Rishasai teaches us that you can't do things like Malkus and Mamoin, or Misa and Mamoin. Rabbi Akiva agrees with that also. Rabbi Akiva goes on to say, though, that it means in general, any two, not just like you, Rabbi Shmuel, want to say that it means two dissimilar punishments that Beisin does, even two similar punishments like Misa and Malkus, because they're both done by Beisin, they're still subject to the rule of Kedei Rishasai. On the other hand, Kares and Malkus, one of them is not under the jurisdiction of Beisin, therefore a person can get Kares and a person can get Malkus.
So they can get Malkus and Misa together?
No, they can't. Really.
They can't,
because that would be Shtei Rishoy. So therefore, at this point, the understanding of Rabbi Akiva we have is, and Rabbi Shmuel for that matter, is Rabbi Shmuel would be saying a person is Chayav Mrs. Beisin, they can also get Malkus, and that's not considered Shtei Rishoyes because Malkus is just the beginning of Misa.
Right.
Rabbi Akiva would be saying they can't get both, Shtei Rishoyes, but it's one or the other. If the Edim were to, a person were to break Shabbos, for example, Edim were to tell him, don't break Shabbos, you will be Chayav Misa, and he does, he will be Chayav Misa. On the other hand, if the Edim tell him, don't do this, you will be Chayav Malkus, then he'll be Chayav Malkus.
Without one or the other.
So it's one or the other.
And for Rabbi Shmuel, it's both.
Rabbi Shmuel, it could be both. That's so far what we're understanding.
They both accept that it's Kares cannot go.
No. Rabbi Shmuel for sure holds that Chayav Kares can get Malkus. He has no problem with that at all.
Right.
His chiddush is that even Chayav Mrs. Beisin can.
What about when they
have
hello to Yasu de Kusa?
I mentioned that just before you walked in. It's true. We learn at the end of the parak that when a person gets Malkus, they're potter from Kares. However, there is a machloikus among Rishonim. Does that happen automatically, or does it require him to also do tshuva? But besides that, we're talking about before he got Malkus. The question is, can we give him Malkus, knowing that there's still Kares over his head? And that's what we said. According to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, sure. Rabbi Shmuel certainly wouldn't have a problem with it, and Rabbi Akiva wouldn't, because he says again that when the Torah says Shtei Rishoyes, that you can't do Shtei Rishoyes, that means you Beisin can't punish him with Shtei Rishoyes. It doesn't mean that you can't have Beisin will do one and Hashem will do the other.
That you could.
Okay. Rava Amar. Rava says here's a different understanding of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel for that matter. Ask Rabbi Lekatala, if they gave him Malka, if they gave him Hasra, that he's going to be Chayav Misa, Kul Amalek, Ligudein, Loiko, Mes, then everybody would agree, both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, you do not give him Malkus and kill him as well. Ki Pligi de Ask Rabbi Lemalkus. The Machloikus would be if they only gave him Hasra for Malkus. Rabbi Shmuel saw a lav shenitin lazharas Mrs. Beisin. According to Rabbi Rava.
Right.
Namely, Rabbi Shmuel saw a lav shenitin lazharas Mrs. Beisin loikin olav. Rabbi Shmuel holds you have a lav where the Torah warns that if a person does it, he's going to be chayiv misa. Ain loikin olav, you're still able to get malchus for such an azhara. If the Torah tells us, for example, the Torah tells us, let's say, don't break Shabbos, because if you do, Mechalaleo Mois Yomos, the person who breaks Shabbos will be put to death, Rabbi Shmuel rather holds. Nonetheless, if instead of giving him Asura for Misa, you gave him Asura for Malchus, that will work. You're able to give him Malchus on the basis of that Azhara in the Torah, on the basis of that the Torah told us, don't do work on Shabbos. They gave him Asura for Malchus. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, that works. Even though he could argue, wait a minute, the Torah only said that Mechalaleo Mois Yomos, the Torah only said I'm going to be Chayav Misa, how can you give me Malchus on the basis of that? Rabbi Shmuel holds, it doesn't matter. The fact that there's an Azhara in the Torah, which for Misa, includes, therefore, also that you can get Malchus instead.
How many Azharas? One?
So it's one Azhara. Don't break Shabbos. But, yeah. It's different Hasra. It's what Hasra did the Eidim give him? They gave him Hasra, you're going to be Chayav Misa. So did they give him Hasra, you're going to be Chayav Malchus.
If they give him Asras Malchus,
then Rabbi Shmuel says that works. But Rabbi Akiva Sover, Rabbi Akiva holds Lav Shenitim Azharas Mitzvah Based in Ein Loikin Olam. Rabbi Akiva says that no, if they gave him Asra for Malchus, he will not get Malchus, because this kind of Lav, the kind of Lav that has a Mitzvah Based in attached, is an exception to the regular run of Chayvei Lav. The fact that the Torah has to warn us that you chayev misa for it, Rabbi Akiva says, that means it takes it out of the category of regular lavim and puts it in a special category. So now, Malchus has been taken away. So therefore, in the case of, let's say, breaking Shabbos, they would have warned him, you chayev misa, sure, you chayev misa. But if you warn him, you chayev Malchus, Rabbi Akiva would say he will not get misa and he will also not get Malchus.
Because
they gave him the wrong hasra, basically. The wrong, yeah. So therefore, according to Rava's understanding, you're never going to have both. Even both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree that Shtei Rishoyis means you cannot give him Misa and Malchus. The question is just, can you give him Malchus in a case where he should have been Chayiv Misa, but they gave him the wrong Hasra? Rabbi Shmuel says yes, Rabbi Akiva says no. And by the way, when we were saying before that Rabbi Akiva said a logical reason behind it, that he said the reason is because before we said at the top of the Omer, Rabbi Akiva gave a logical reason for it, because after all, with Chayvei Krisis, if they do tshuva, they can be potter from Kares. With Chayvei Misa based in, they can't. Later on the Omer, we had a little before, we had Rabbi Akiva learning it from Kedei Rishasai. So Mefarshim explained, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva would say, yes, the bottom line is Gzeiras HaKosov, Kedei Rishasai. But why does the Torah say it? Why, Taka, would the Torah distinguish between Kares and Misa Based in? Because of that distinction, that Misa Based in, he's not going to get out of even if he does Tshuva, whereas Kares, he could. Fine. The problem with that is Rabbi Akiva. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, Ihochi, if you're going to say like that, Chayvei Krusis Nami Lavshin Itin Lazharas Koresu. Shouldn't you say by the same logic that when the Torah says that if you do a certain Avera, you're going to be Chayvei Kores, that should also take it out of the general category of Lavim and say that instead, that now what the Torah is, just like with Mrs. Bastian, you're saying the Torah is substituting Mrs. Bastian for Malkers. Shouldn't you say the same thing by Kores?
Logically.
Yeah. So why not? So Rav Mordechai tells Rav Ashi, this is what Avimi from Hagrunya said to explain this in the name of Rava. He said, yes, but the difference is, when it comes to a Chiyuv Koris, you do not need Hasra to be Chayiv Koris. Now, when we say the word Hasra over here, we actually don't mean Hasra in the usual sense of Hasra of what the Edim tell us. What we mean is actually, what we really mean is Azhara. And in fact, there is a Girsa over here, not Hasra, but Azhara, that we don't need the Torah to warn us. We don't need the Torah to warn us that you're Chayiv Kares in order to be Chayiv Kares, he says. You can be Chayiv Kares even without a warning in the Torah. So therefore, the fact that the Torah tells you're Chayiv Kares doesn't necessarily mean to take it out of the general run of Lavin. And how do we know that? Pesach Umila, because we have among the 30, you have 36 cases for which a person can be Chayiv Kares. Two of them are Pesach and Mila. A person fails to bring a carbon Pesach, and a person fails to have a Bris Mila. Onash Alpha Pishleh is here. So there the Torah punishes, there the din is, a person is punished with Kares, even though there's no warning.
That's
yes, that's how it is. A person doesn't bring a carbon Pesach. And now the thing is, it is true that you get Kares for them, And what we mean is, in other words, by Pesach, the Torah tells us you have to bring a korban Pesach, and it says if a person doesn't bring a korban Pesach, then he's chayav karis. Similarly with milah, it says a person has to have a bris milah, and if not, then he gets karis. It doesn't say in so many words, do not fail to bring a korban Pesach, because if you do, you will be chayav karis. Do not fail to have a bris milah, because if you do, you will be chayav karis. It just mentions the karis without an azhara, without a warning not to do this. So therefore we see, you don't need a warning, you need to be told you're chayav karis. We don't need a warning in the Torah, don't do this, if you do, you're going to be chayav karis. That's what Gemara is going to answer, but that's at this point, that this is what Avimi is saying. Yeah. So therefore, how to try to take Pesach and Milah on a shafish lehizir. You see that by Pesach and Milah, you're punished with karis, even though there's no warning in the Torah, there's no loisa that don't fail to bring the karis and Pesach and don't fail to have a bris Milah. So the same thing with anything else. Okay, problem with that is Vidulma Azhara la Korban. No, but you could argue though that maybe you need the Azhara, maybe you need the warning in the Torah to be told that you need to bring a Korban. Namely, in other words, we know that most of the Chayvei Krisus, if a person is over on them b'shogig, they don't get Koris, but instead they bring a Korban Chatos, with a couple of them they bring a Korban Ola v'Yored. So maybe you need the warning in the Torah. Don't do such and such, because if you do, you're going to be chayav karis. Fine, you're right. Maybe you don't need that warning to be told that it's also to do, because if you do, you're going to be chayav karis. Fine. The very fact that Torah imposes karis implies that it's also to do. Maybe you need to be told, don't do such and such. Don't eat chaylev. Don't whatever, because if you do, you're going to have to bring a karis. And we see that, though. Pesach and Milah, the last blue Azhara, like Maisi Korban. And after all, you see, logically, yes, by the Pesach and the Milah, there's no Azhara. We just said there's no loisa involved with those. And indeed, if a person fails to bring the Korban Pesach or fails to have a bris Milah, they don't bring a Korban Chatos for that, if they did it for Shogig. And yet, they're Chayav Korban. So maybe you should argue, in other words, that. In order to be chayav karis, fine, you don't need an azhara, but in order to have to bring a korban chatas, maybe you need an azhara.
The answer is,
hasam lav hainer taimer. No, because that's not the reason. The reason why you don't bring a korban for failing to bring a korban pesach or failing to bring a bris milah, that's not the reason, because there's no azhara. The reason is, alamishum de'itkash kol ha-Torah kula, la'avodas kochavim. The reason is because the Torah makes a hekesh between all other mitzvahs and avodah zarah. Namely, the Torah tells us in Parashat Shlach that a person worships avodah zarah b'shogig, then they have to bring a korban chatas. And the Torah makes a hekesh over there comparing the whole Torah to avodah zarah, because it says, continues over there, Torah achas yilachem lo'isa b'shogig, there should be one law for anybody who does an avodah b'shogig. So we see that there is a hekesh between avodah zarah and other avodah. Ma avodas kochavim shev bal taseh, and just like avodah zarah, therefore, is a shev bal taseh. What is it? The Torah tells us, refrain from doing something. Don't get up and worship a getchet. So therefore, we learn what kind of thing would you bring a korban chatas for? Something where you have something where you could do a certain action, and the Torah is telling you, don't do that action. Afkol shev, and you go and do it. Afkol shev bal taseh. The same thing. Anything else you bring a chatas has to be a shev bal taseh. La pukihani dekum aseh, as opposed to pesach and milah or mitzvah aseh. There the Torah is not telling you refrain from an action. There the Torah is telling you get up and go bring a korban pesach. Get up and go get a bris milah. So that's why you don't bring a korban for them. Nothing to do with whether there's an azhara or not. The fact that they don't fit into that hekesh with avodah zarah.
So basically the Gemara is saying it's a different category.
So therefore it's a different, they're in a different category, exactly. So the bottom line is, therefore, Rabbi Akiva can make a distinction between Kardis and Mitzvahs based in, and say, therefore, that even the person that's Chayav Kardis can still be Chayav Malkus, because by Kardis, you didn't really need the Azhara in the first place. You didn't need the Azhara to tell you you're Chayav Kardis, because you don't need that. We see by Pesach and Milah, you don't need it. You don't need the Azhara to tell you you're Chayav Korban, because that we learn from the Hekesh with Avodah Zarah. The purpose of it. So therefore, if there's an azhara there, it doesn't exempt things that are chayav karis from the general run of what you would be chayav for an azhara, namely malchus. As opposed to mitzvah based in, the Torah needs to tell you an azhara, to tell you that if you do it, you're going to be chayav, to tell you that it's also to do, and if you do, you're going to be chayav mitzvah. And therefore, that tells it it's only mitzvah. It takes it out from the general rule of lavim that they get malchus and puts it in a different category of mitzvah instead. That is why Rabbi Akiva says that even if you gave him asra for malchus, he will not get malchus in that case. It's mitzvah or nothing. Ravina, Omar. Ravina gives a different explanation. La'olam kidam moran mi'ikra. Really, we can answer that Rabbi Akiva's reason is for the reason we said before, that it's a matter of shtei rishayot, not Rava's reason, that not what Rava is saying, that it's a question of can you give him malchus for something which should have been chayiv nitzaseisim, but they gave him the wrong hasra. No, let's go back to the original understanding that Rabbi Akiva is discussing the question, can you give him two penalties for the same avera, which we said, therefore, when it comes to nitzaseisim and malchus, you can't. When it comes to kares and malchus, you could, because kares is not in the hands of beisim. And we said at the beginning of the sugya, Shim also shuva based in Shamayla Marchon Lahan. We said then that Rabbi Akiva says that the reason why it's possible to get kares when it comes, when the reason why it's possible to get malchus when it comes to a chiyuv kares is because not necessarily he's getting kares. Shim also shuva based in Shamayla Marchon Lahan. The reason is, as Rabbi Akiva said over there, that's why, because kares, he could potentially get out of Kares. There's not necessarily Shtei Rishayot. You don't have to distinguish, like we said before, between two Rishayot that Beis Din imposes versus one that Beis Din imposes and one that Hashem imposes. Never mind that. You don't have to make that distinction. We're just saying, because the bottom line is, you're not necessarily going to get Kares. My Amr Toloi Ovo Tshuva. So you said before, but after all, not necessarily is the person going to do Tshuva. True, but like Sika Milsala Kares, the bottom line is you can't say for sure that he's going to get Kares. You can't say for sure that he's going to get Kares because he could very well do Tshuva and be Potter from Kares.
If he does Tshuva, then Hashem
will potter from Kares. Therefore, we, the Beis Din Shamata, are entitled to give him Malchus without having to worry about the Kares, without having to worry about the Kares hanging over his head, because as far as we know, he may get it, he may not. As opposed to Mrs. Beis Din, we know for sure he's going to get the Mrs. Beis Din. Even the fact that he did Tshuva is not going to take that away from him. Therefore, we can't give him Malchus. Shtei Rishayot. So those are the various explanations of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Again, either it's that Rabbi Akiva is saying that either Rabbi Akiva's own svara that he said in the Braisa is the reason to distinguish between Krisus and Mrs. Beis Din is because Kares he might get out of, Mrs. Beis Din he won't. We brought the idea about the Shtei Rishayot, that what it is Beis Din can't give a person two penalties, but they can give one and Hashem can give the other. Or then we have Rava's explanation that it's not a question of how many punishments he's getting. The maximum he's going to get is only going to be one. But we're talking about, can he get Malchus for something which he should have gotten Mrs. Beis Din, but they gave him the wrong Hasra.
And then we said,
that's it. Those are the various explanations of Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So when our Mishnah lists, Chayvei Krisus among the Chayvei Malchus, you want to bring your Gemara?
Yes.
Okay. So the fact that our Mishnah listed Chayvei Krisus among the Chayvei Malchus, we said goes according to Rabbi Akiva. So that could fit. Okay, that could fit according to any of these explanations over here. We could say it means he's going to get Malchus. He may get Kares as well, but that doesn't matter because it wasn't a certainty that he's going to get Kares. He could have done Tshuva. Or it could be it doesn't matter because Kares is not in Beis Din's hands anyway, and therefore he could get Malchus from the Beis Din Shalmata and also get Kares from the Beis Din Shalmaila, and it's not our concern. It's not Shtei Rishayos. Or we could say Rava's explanation means that when the Torah tells us a certain lav is chayv mitzvah beis din, it means but not malchus. On the other hand, when it says Torah, when it says an azhara for Kares, the azhara is not necessary to teach us Kares. It's necessary to teach us. We can use it to teach us malchus. Therefore, it can be chayv malchus. And again, our Mishnah didn't list Mrs. Beis Din, same idea. According to the first two explanations, it would mean that according to the first explanation and the third explanation in the Gemara, meaning that it's Risha Achas and Shtei Rishayot,
right.
and the third one being Ravina's explanation that Kares he's not necessarily going to get. According to those, the Mishnah doesn't list Mrs. Beis Din, not because a person can't ever get Malchus from Mrs. Beis Din, but because it's not necessarily is he going to get it. Something Chayiv Kares, he's necessarily going to get Malchus. Mrs. Beis Din, he's not necessarily going to get Malchus. It depends what kind of Asura they gave. According to Rava, the reason why he doesn't mention them is because he'll never get Malchus for those. He'll never get Malchus for Shabbos or Arias with his mother or whatever, or Avodah Zarah or any of the other cases that are chayiv misa, because chayiv misa automatically excludes chayiv malchus.
And according to
The first explanation, according to the first explanation, and according to Rav Bauer's explanation, and according to Rav Inna's explanation, conceivably a person could get malchus for those things. Conceivably a person could get malchus for breaking Shabbos or worshiping Avodah Zarah or whatever, but only if they gave him the proper hasarah, only if they gave him hasarah for malchus, and therefore the mission doesn't list them, because not necessarily are they going to give him that hasarah. Whereas according to Rava, it doesn't matter if they gave him hasarah for malchus, he's still not going to get malchus in those cases. Now we got to deal with Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. We said in the Brayt that Rabbi Yitzchak came, chayve krisis bechlal hayu. We said Rabbi Yitzchak had said that chayve krisis are included in the general run of lavim, namely the Torah tells us a bunch of things that you're not allowed to do. Among them are things that are chayve karis. V'lama yotzes karis bacha. He says, so why does the Torah single out and mention, and specifically, it actually says, all of the arayas are included in chayve krisis, because the Torah summarizes at the end of Parashas Arayas that all of them are chayve karis. V'lama yotzes karis bacha. He says, so we said, Rabbi Yitzchak had said, why did the Torah specifically mention karis by a sister? V'dune v'karis v'lay malchus. He said, that comes to teach us, it teaches us that only karis, not malchus, and therefore we apply that to all the chayve krisis. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, again, not like our Mishnah, that chayve krisis do not get malchus. It's karis or nothing. So where did he get that from? Because he says from Koris Bachoise. So the question is, in other words, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, if the Torah didn't want to tell us that concept, it shouldn't have mentioned Koris for a person having relations with a sister, right? Because all arayas are chayav Koris. The fact that it mentions it specifically by his sister comes to teach us only Koris,
right?
Not Malchus. So, and therefore that applies across the board to all chayav Krisis, no Malchus.
So that's what's it called? It's a klal, and
it's a klal. It's davar shahoyi b'chlal, v'yotzam in a klal l'lamed. It's singled out from the klal to teach us. Lo l'lamed alatzmi yotzam l'lamed our klal kolayotzam. It comes to teach us about the general rule, about the general run of chayvei krisis that they don't get malchus. Okay, for Rabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to that? Kares b'chayze l'mali. According to them, why does the Torah need to tell us kares by a man and a sister? The reason is l'chalit. They say, fine, we agree that it's a davar shahoyi b'chlal, v'yotzam in a klal l'lamed. But we use it in a different sense. We use it l'chalik to teach us that there is each one of the arayas is considered a separate issue of its own. Which means, in other words, it's not relevant as far as kares. A person can only get kares once. It's relevant as far as chatos. We just said before that with most of the chayve krisis, 34 out of the 36, a person does them b'shoigeg is in chayve chatos. So what happens? The person were to do a bunch of the arayas, the hell of echad, within one period of unknowingness. So you had a person didn't know, let's say, that any of these arayas are mutter, and he did a whole bunch of them. How many chatoris would he have to bring? If we didn't have karis b'chosei, we would say you bring only one chatos, because the Torah summarizes at the end and says one karis for all of them. Now that it mentions karis b'chosei, teaches us l'chalik, that each one is a separate issue of its own, and therefore a separate chiyuv chatos.
So say the sister one, and all the other ones two.
It teaches us about all the ones in that category, all the arayas, which are chayav kares, that each one of them is going to be a separate chiyuv. Is going to be a separate chiyuv chatos. Mm-hmm. If you did a behelam echad, yeah. And like Rabbi Yechanan says, the Amr Rabbi Yechanan says that the first Mishnah of Krisus starts by saying Shloshim v'sheish krisis amuras v'tera, that there's 36 things in the Torah that the Torah says that a person can be chayav karis for, and then it lists them all out. So the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah need to give us a number? We can count them for ourselves. And Rabbi Yechanan says the reason is Shema saw and kolam behelam echad. The Mishnah wants to teach us that if a person were to do all these 36 things, behelam echad chayav akol achas v'achas, is going to be chayav one individual chatos for each one. In other words, the maximum number of chatos a person could be chayav if it was all behelam echad, it was all in one period of unknowingness, is 36. Really, actually 34. We said because Pesach and Malchus, Pesach and Milo don't get a chatos. But the point is, in other words, that you shouldn't think if a person were to do a bunch of these things, a person were to have relations with a sister and eat chaylev and eat pigul, let's say, or whatever all the other examples over there, that he should only have to bring one chatos. No, he has to bring individual chatos for each of those things, and it could be a maximum of 36.
That's according to...
That's the Rabbanan. Learn that from Kodesh Bachoset. So the question is, Rabbi Yitzchak L'chalik Menomer, Rabbi Yitzchak agrees with that concept. He also agrees with L'chalik, that each one has its own chata. Where did he learn that from? If he's using Karas V'achoytei to teach us a different din. The answer is Nachkala Mivel Isha Beninat Tumasa. He learns it from a different pasuk in Parashas Arayos, where it says, to a woman, when she is in the nida of her tuma, you shouldn't come close, you shouldn't have relations with. Now, it doesn't have to say Isha. Obviously, nida is a woman, by definition. It means v'chayev akol isha v'isha. So therefore, he says, it means, comes to teach us that you chayev individually for each woman. You chayev for your sister, and you chayev for your daughter, and you chayev, whatever, each of the daughters, Mrs. Basin, okay, whatever. You chayev for each of the arayas that are chayev kares, you chayev a separate chatas for them, if it was for shogun. Okay, the question is now, back in the Rabbanan's court, but Rabbanan nami tibukle meha. No, they can also learn it from Ve'al Isha. They don't need to learn it from kares b'achos, so. The answer is Enochanami. You're right, they can learn it from the word Isha. Ve'al kores b'achosei lomal. So fine, we're back to why the Chachamim say you need kores b'achosei. Again, Rabbi Yitzchok is saying it means no malchus. The Chachamim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, who don't agree with that concept, they say you can have malchus by kores. What are they doing with kores b'achosei? Given that we said you don't need it l'chalik, because l'chalik we can learn from Ve'al Isha. The answer is l'chayvoi alachosei v'alachosei v'alachosei. Yes, but it comes to be tell us that a person is chayev, a chatas, again, if it was behelam echad, if he had relations with his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister, all behelam echad. The question is pshita. Well, obviously, he'd be chayev for chatas. How did gufin mechlokin and a shemus mechlokin? You have different bodies, it's different people, and it's different shemus. Each one is a separate issue in the Torah. Why do we think those should be in one category? Sure, they're all some kind of sister, but the one is your sister, one is your father's sister, one is your mother's sister.
But one sister for all of them.
No, but each one, the Torah tells us a separate issue for. The Torah tells us don't have relations with your sister, the Torah tells us don't have relations with your father's sister, and the Torah tells us don't have relations with your mother's sister. Each one is listed separately, and it's a different goof. We're not talking about separate people. So of course it.
Yeah, I hope they're not the same person.
Ella, that's what it is. L'chayvay, alachoyser, she achoys aviv, she hi achoysimon. You can have a case where a person has mezana with his sister, who is also his father's sister, and who is also his mother's sister, v'heichidami, v'heichimashkachasla, and how do you have such a scenario? V'rashia barashia. You can have a Rasha, the son of a Rasha. Namely, Rashi explains, based on the Gemara and Krisus over there, suppose you have a man is mezana with his mother. She gives birth to two daughters. Later on, this guy, the original Rasha, is mezana with one of those daughters, who when you get down to it, those daughters are actually his sisters as well. There is daughters and his sisters. He's now mezana with one of them. He has a son. That son, the second generation, is just as much a Rasha as his father. He has relations with the other daughter, who is she's not his mother, but she's his mother's sister. She's his father's sister, and she's his own sister. So therefore, you have three. So therefore, you have one goof in which there's three different isurim. That is the case where we have to be told that you chayev for all three of them. That you chayev for all three of them individually. That if it was all behelam echad, the guy, this young guy, the second generation mamzer, he had no idea that any of this is author. He's grown up in a family like this, and later on he finds out it's author. He's gonna have to bring three chatas.
And he's got other problems.
He's got other problems too. That is true. But yeah. Okay.
Probably like three fingers.
Okay. The question is, Rabbi Yitzchak Hamanale. Fine, in that case, we're back to where's Rabbi Yitzchak going to learn that concept from? He agrees with that. He agrees with that din. But if he can't use Kores B'Achoyse for that, because he's using Kores B'Achoyse to learn about Malchus, where does he learn that from? The answer is Naskalei Mekav HaChomer. He says you can learn it from a Kav HaChomer. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, or actually the Tanan, it's really a Mishnah in Krisus. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Sha'altias Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, the Islis Shel Imom, I asked them this in the meat market of Imom. Imom, actually, it's supposed to be, is the name of a city in Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, actually, they're not even certain where the ruins of it are. It's somewhere vaguely in the area of Latrun, on the road between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv, but they're not really certain where it was. Anyway, in those times, it was a well-known city in Imoris, it was really called. Or Gemara has it with a Schlossman, because I guess there's a copyist got it wrong, or the printer got it wrong, whatever. But it was a well-known city in Eretz Yisrael. So they had gone there to this meat market. They had gone there to buy an animal for the wedding party of Rav Gamliel's son. And the point of it is, Mefarshim say over there, the point of mentioning that detail is even then when they're very deeply into the wedding preparations, they're very much into the wedding. Nevertheless, they still took time out to learn Torah and to answer a question in Torah. So the question was, Rabbi Akiva says, I asked them, this scenario of this messed up family that we just had, a man is
missing. Wedding, Akiva's question.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't after the wedding. It's when they're going to buy an animal for the wedding. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so a person does that. He's mezaneh with a girl who is like that, who's all three of those things. She's his sister, his father's sister, and his mother's sister. Mahu, what is the din? Do we say he's only chayav one chatas for all of it because it's only one person? Or is he chayav three chatas for three separate isurim? Amruloi, so the Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua answer him, Zuloi Shamainu. We actually haven't heard from our Rabbeim an answer to that question. Avol Shamainu, but we did hear a different case from our Rabbeim from which we think we can make a kavachomer, from which we hold we can make a kavachomer to your case. If a man is mezaneh with five women who are nida, all behelam echad, again, all during one period of unknowingness, that a nida is also, he would be chayiv a separate chatas for each one. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua say, in that case, we figure we can make a kavachomer from that to your case. We're talking about a chatas. If it was bebezid, a person can only get koreis once. A person only has one wife, and a person only has one neshama. No, when we ask how many lavim he's over, the relevance of it is as far as the shogeg, how many chatoris did he have to bring. So uman nida shi shem echad chayav akolachas b'achas madach nida, where all these five women he had relations with, it's all ultimately one iser ve'alisha b'nida tumasa, and yet chayav akolachas b'achas, and yet he's chayav an individual chatas for each one. Kan shloisha shemus like Hoshkin. Here you have three different names of isurim achoisa, right? How much more so he should be chayav three chatoris? So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, I accept that kavachomer. Therefore, I know the din from that. I don't need a pasuk to teach. I don't need koras v'achoyt to teach us that.
From nida to
be'idach. So what would the chachamim would answer to that kavachomer prichahu? They would answer yes, but you can shlug up that kavachomer. Mal nida she came gupen mechulakin. Because how can you compare from the case of nida where you have separate bodies? Each one is a separate woman. How can you compare that to here? It's one woman in which there are three different isurim. Actually, the Tiferes Yisrael on that Mishnah actually asked. So didn't Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua realize that that's kavachomer pricha? Don't they realize it's easy to slog up that kavachomer? Why are they bringing it in the first place? And he says actually because you could argue. You could argue. He says
why they didn't slog it up?
Why they didn't think to slog it up themselves? He says because. The fact of the matter is, we need a pasuk to teach us that you chayev individually for each shame, for each name. As we said before, we need to learn it from some pasuk. You don't need a pasuk to teach us that you chayev for gufin mechulakin. So therefore, there's more reason to think that if you chayev a chatas for gufin mechulakin, then you should be chayev all the more so. You should be chayev a chatas for shameless mechulakin. Okay, they held that that's a valid kavachim. The chachamim don't have to agree with that. Fine, doesn't Rabbi Yitzchak agree then that kavachomer is able to be shlogged up? Okay, you could salvage it the way that the Pharisee Yisrael says, but the fact of the matter is, on the face of it, it's a kavachomer that can be shlogged up. There's a difference between gufim and shaman. No, rather, Rabbi Yitzchak will say, where do we learn this that we're saying that you chayev in this case for achoyse, shehi achoyse adam, shehi achoyse imoy? He'll say, fine, I can't learn it from that kavachomer. The kavachomer can be slugged up. Rather, we will learn it from the fact that the Torah says twice achoisa in that pasuk. V'isha sheyikach es achoisa, v'asav v'agafimo, etc. Erva achoisa gila. The pasuk finishes off. He has uncovered the erva of his sister, and therefore, erva achoisa gila. And it didn't have to say it. It could have said erva achoisa gila, whatever. Yeah. So therefore, from that, we can learn an extra din. The idah chachoyse to sefer lomali. So fine, what are the chachamim going to answer to that? What are they learning from that second achoyse? The answer is l'chayva l'chayse basovim o'vasimah. they say you have to, you need that second achosay to teach us. Like this, the Torah, the that pasuk begins by saying that if a man has relations with his full sister, who is the daughter of his mother and the daughter of his father. In other words, because that pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim starts out by saying a man marries his sister, has relations, whatever, with his sister, the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother.
Right.
Then the pasuk continues, they get kares.
Right.
What about if she's the daughter of his father and the daughter of his mother, his full-blooded sister?
Right.
Therefore, you need the second achoseh to tell us that also. Loimar she'en oinshin min adin. Because we need to be told that, because you can't give a person a punishment
on the basis
of a kavachomer, as we learned in Sanhedrin. So therefore, you couldn't say a kavachomer if you chayev for achosei from your father's side, and you chayev for achosei from your mother's side, how much more so you should be chayev if she's both. No, ain't no ancient menadin.
I think we even have this.
Yeah, we discussed this in Sanhedrin, yeah. Okay, the idach, what would Rabbi Yitzchak answer to that? Ibo yisei megama onesh me'azhara. One possibility is he can learn the Onesh from the Azhara. Namely, when it says, you have the Azharas for the Arayas are in Parshas Achrimos, the Onshin are in Parshas Kedoshim, and in Achrimos, you have an extra statement over there. You have two different things. You have one that says you're not allowed to have relations with your sister, and another one that says, Ervas mas eshes avicha, meledes avicha, the erva of your father, of the wife of your father, who was born from your father, achos chayim. So in other words, it means your sister who is from your father's side, but not your mother's side. Your father has another wife, and this is your half-sister from your father's side. Then the pasuk is saying you're also not allowed to have relations with her.
Right.
So by Azhara, the Torah makes it clear that's both. It's one or the other. It's both. It's whether she's your full sister or whether she's your half-sister. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak can say, well, very well, then when it comes to Parshas Kedoshim, even though the Torah does not spell out that it applies to a full sister, the Kares, once we know the Azhara applies to both, then we know the Onesh applies to both. So he doesn't need the second Achoisei to teach us that. He can use the word Achoisei to teach us about the other case where you have one woman who is subject to three different Isurim, where you have three different chatos.
Right.
That's one possibility. The boyseima naftalei me'achoyse duresha. Or another possibility is he can learn it from the first achoyse of the pasuk. Because when the Torah starts by saying ki'ish ve'ishah achoyse bas aviv bas ibo, they didn't have to say the word achoyse. Bas aviv bas ibo. It could have just said he marries his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and automatically we know that means his sister. The fact that he uses the word achosei there, we can use it to learn this concept that even if she's his sister as well as his father's sister as well as his mother's sister, that he's chayav three chatos.
When you have a second, explain to me again. The guy marries the guy has relations with his mother and his two daughters.
He has two daughters, right? Sisters. So they're his sisters as well
then
as his
he
daughter.
Has relations with one of his sister's daughters.
With one of his sisters and has a son.
His daughter.
Right.
And he has a son. And the son has relations with the other.
Right. So the other sister, the other sister is his own sister because they have the same father.
Son.
Because they have the same father. Or they have the same mother. They have the same father, rather, right.
They're the same father.
They have the same father.
Don't have the same mother.
Right. They have the same father, but they're sisters. She's also his father's sister because his mother, this woman he was mezana with and his father have the same mother. And she's his mother's sister
right.
for the same reason.
Yeah. Wait, they have the same mother and the same father. Wait,
the two sisters have the same mother and the same father, yeah. The original Russia who started this whole train, he's from the mother.
He is a son who's been zoning with his mother.
Right.
And he has two daughters.
So now from that are born two daughters.
Two daughters.
So now those daughters, they have... So the two daughters, they're full-blooded sisters. They have the same mother and the same father.
As him?
They have the same, as each other.
As each other.
Right. Their father is also their brother. Their mother is their mother.
Right.
Yeah. So now, when this guy has relations with one of them, and they have a son, then that son now has a woman who is, the other woman is his sister from his father's side, as well as his father's sister, as well as his mother's sister, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Fine. The Idach. Okay, getting back to, so we're going back and forth between we're volleying back and forth between Rabbi Yitzchak and the Chachamim. The Idach, what would they answer to that? This that we said, Rabbi Yitzchak can learn Onesh from Azhara. Fine, the Chachamim don't have to agree with that. What about the Achoisei at the beginning of the Pasuk, which Rabbi Yitzchak is pointing out Now, Choset at the beginning of the pasuk wasn't necessary, and therefore we can learn another din from it. What are the Chacham answer to that? They would say that we use that achoiser. This is one of those things that we have in the Gemara. You have something which is not needed in its context, but we can use it for something related in another context. Namely, like this, we had an Arm Mishnah. In Arm Mishnah, it mentioned among the Chayvim Malkus are somebody who duplicates the Shemana Mishnah, who duplicates the recipe of it, or somebody who takes some of the original Shemana Mishnah of Moshe Rabbeinu's and smears it on a skin. Both of those. Now, the Torah tells us like this. The Torah tells us two different lavim, but one karis. The Torah says, "Al b'sar adam l'yisach, it should not be smeared on a person's skin, or maskunte l'sasu kamayu, don't follow the recipe of it." And then the pasuk continues. The next pasuk continues. If a person does that, v'nichras me'amav, then they will get karis. So you have two lavim with one karis. The Chachamim say you need the word achoisei that mevoda lechalik karis from a fatim alasach. It comes to teach us that there is a separate chiyuv karis, and therefore also a separate chiyuv, and therefore also a separate chiyuv malkus, and a separate chiyuv chatos from a fatim and pesach for somebody who duplicates the Shemana Mishnah or somebody who smears the Shemana Mishnah. Otherwise, you would think since they're summarized under one karis, then you would think you only get one chatos.
Right.
Similar to what we said before about the arayos. We need karis v'achoisei to tell us otherwise. And similarly over here, we need the word achoisei to teach us otherwise. The idach, what is Rabbi? That's the thing, because you have a concept. Sometimes you have something which the Torah mentions an extra word in one place where we don't need it in that context because we already know the din without it. We use it to teach us a similar din in a different context. Here we're taking from achoisei. Fine, but here is a choise which is chayav karis, and they were applying it to something else which is chayav karis. Ve'idach, what would Rabbi Yitzchak answer to that? He says, Savakar of Elazar, Amar of Hoshea. He says, now you don't need that. You can learn that concept without having an extra word in the Torah, just based on what Rabbi Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Hoshea. The Amar of Elazar, Amar of Hoshea. Kol mokam shata moitzes shnei lavim v'karis echad. Anytime you find you have two lavim where there's one karis at the end of it, like this example over here, where mfatim and sach, it says one karis, chalukin ein l'korban. Automatically, the fact that they are separated as far as the lav teaches us that they're separated as far as the korban. Meaning, if the Torah had used the expression, let's say, if the Torah had used one loy for the two of them, then it would be one chatas. The very fact that the Torah says that it's two different things, loy yisach and loy sasu kamayu, teaches us two separate lavim and therefore two separate.
Is there only one that holds like that?
Well, that
the number of korbanos is the same as the number of lavim,
yeah. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak can use that opinion, and he can say, therefore, so I don't need the word achoisei to teach us that concept. I know it anyway.
The Chacham don't have to agree with that.
Or another answer we could say, maybe Rabbi Yitzchak does not agree with Rabbi Elazar, but he can rather learn this concept that a person can be chayev for a choisei who is bas ovim and bas imei for his full blooded sister. We said the chachamim want to learn it from the extra choisei. Rabbi Yitzchak wants to use their extra choisei for something else. Maybe not actually. Maybe he can learn it in a different way. Maybe isha sheyishka bas isha dava. The fact that the pasuk says that a man has relations with a woman who is dava, meaning a nida.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the fact that the Torah uses the expression isha.
Is there a difference between dava and nida?
Nida literally means separated, because she's separated from her husband. Dava, Rashi mentions on the psukim, two different explanations. One is that dava means flow, because she has a flow of blood, and the other is that dava means sick, because often before a woman has her period, she feels sick, PMS, whatever. Yeah. So anyway, so the fact that it uses the expression isha sheyishka as isha dava, and again you have the expression isha is extra. So therefore we can learn. Therefore we can learn karis from a fatim al sach from there. The idach.
We say isha is lashon de adam.
No, but we don't. In general, we try not to say the rhetorical lashon de adam. The idach. What would the Chacham answer to that? They would say, "Ahum v'boyle l'chad Rav Yechonon." Yes, but we need that those words. That's isha dava to teach us the different din. Minayin chayne isha tmeya ad sheyetz midveha derech ervasa. How do we know that a woman is not tamei nida unless her midveha, her flow, comes out derech ervasa by way of her erva? Meaning, in other words, let's say, for example, a woman were to have a C-section or whatever, an operation on her uterus or whatever, and blood comes out. No, we're not talking about elsewhere. No, obviously it means blood from the uterus. But let's say uterine blood can come.
I was pointing to the ear.
No.
I was thinking, you know, what if she has a piercing in her ear?
No, there's no question. There's no question that Java. There's no question that Java means uterine blood.
Okay.
There's no question about that. But how do we know?
Not
from the uterus.
Can it be from an ovary, or can it be something?
Dafka from the uterus. When we learn Masechta Nida in a couple of years, that's the shame. We'll talk about that.
I think from the ovary, that would be.
But if it comes from the ovary and down to the uterus.
So if it comes through the uterus, we'll learn a Nida over there. We'll talk about the whole We'll talk about the whole anatomy over there. The cheder, the proizer, the aliyah. We'll get into it. The blood has to come from the uterus in order for it to be tummy. If it comes from something else and goes into the uterus, okay, but we don't have a way of knowing where it came. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, suppose a woman has an operation on her, where they're doing an operation, where they're cutting open her uterus, and blood comes out, how do we know she's not tummy nidya?
Right, like that, C-section.
Yeah, because...
She would be cool.
So how do we know? Because not derech avosa. The reason is, shenema v'isha sheyishkev as isha dava, because the pasuk says a man has relations with a woman who is dava, v'gila es avosa, and he uncovers her erva, then the chayv kares, melamed she'ena isha mitmea, she'et the midveha derech avosa. From this we learn that she's only tummy if the dava comes out from avosa, so not by C-section or whatever. Avosa means her erva, her actual private part.
Right.
So not if it comes out, derech doifen, through the side. So now Rabbi Yitzchok does not have to agree with that din. He might pack a hold that she's tamei no matter what because blood came out of her uterus. The Chachamim who hold that yes, that's where they learn it from, this isha dava. So that's okay. So we've clarified what Rabbi Yitzchok and the Chachamim's respective opinions are. This is where we went through this whole chain of psukim. But we see Rabbi Yitzchak has his own way of explaining it. The Chachamim have their own way. The point is, each one has one link in the chain that's available at their end. The Chachamim have a link to say that the midveh derech avosa. Rabbi Yitzchak uses the other end of it because he's used each one for something else. He uses this for what the Chachamim used for this, and so forth, going down the line. So he has the original one available to teach us that when you chayev kodesh, you're not chayev kodesh, which is what he said in the original bright.
So it's like a shuffle. How are we going to catch up to the radio?
Eventually we will, I don't know, but...
Horius is coming next?
No, we're actually next after Marcus is Shavuos.
Oh, that will give us time to catch up. Horius is not 8 o'clock.
No, it's...
How about 7?
Well, can we go a little further now, or... Can we go a little further now? Okay. We said in the Mishnah of a Tomei she'ochal as a Kodesh. We said that you have a case of a Tomei who eats Kodesh, namely pieces of Kobanis. We said it's Chayav Marcus. And we listed a few different... We listed Tomei she'ochal hakodesh v'haboil hamikdash tomei, and we also listed somebody who comes into this mikdash while they're tomei. Now we know, of course, that for each kind of thing that a person is in mechayev malchus, there has to be an eschayev kodesh. We said there has to be an onish, and there has to be an azhara, and there has to be an onish. There has to be some place where the Torah warns us don't do this, and there has to be a place where the Torah tells us the consequences that is chayev kodesh. So let's go through them. I can understand. We know for sure somebody who comes into the Beis Mikdash Tamei, we have both. We have a warning in the Torah that a Bichayev Kares, and we have an Azhara in the Torah, which therefore allows us to give a Malkus. Because the Pasuk says a person who is Tamei and comes into the Mishkan of Hashem while he's Tamei, then he gets Kares. Azhara, and the Azhara is from the words V'lo Yitamu Esmachaneihem. They should not make their Machne Tamei. And therefore the various classes of Tmeim have to leave a different number of Machnes. Machne Shechina only, Shechina and Levia, all three.
Each one of them has a
different classes of Tmeim have to leave different Machnes. A Tomei Mess has to leave Machne Shechina. He's allowed to be Machne Levia. Even the Mess himself is allowed to be Machne Levia. A Zov, Zova, etc. have to be out of Machne Shechina and Levia. They can be in Machne Yisrael. And a Mitzvah has to be out of all three.
It's interesting. A Tomei Mess has to be less. That is less than a tummy
But Tzeiris.
Well, you have to consider though a Zav and the rest of that group is all Tumah Yotzim Gufan. In a way, it's more serious because the Tumah comes out of their own body, as opposed to a Tumah Mess or Tumah Sheretz or whatever, where they just touch something outside themselves. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So therefore, so we have the Onesh and we have the Azhar. Ella, Tomei she'ochos kodesh. Now let's look at the case of a person who's Tomei who eats kodeshim. Bishleim onesh ksid. True, it says in the pasuk in onesh. It says, "Anefesh ashtecha basim zevah hashlamim hashel Hashem." A person who eats meat from the shlamim that belong to Hashem, the tumasay olav, while his tumor is upon him, v'nichrus, then he gets cursed. El azhara minayim. The question is, where is the azhara? Where is the Torah warn us?
Don't we have the problem that if he touches it, it's going to be tumah?
So you can have, for example, somebody could, let's say, put it on a feed it to him on a skewer or something.
Right,
yeah.
That's a toast.
It's the Gemara mentions it. The Gemara mentions that. So where is the Azhara? Rish Lakish Omer b'chol kodesh leisiga. Rish Lakish says you have an Azhara from the fact that Torah says by a woman who just gave birth, b'chol kodesh leisiga, it says she shall not touch any kodesh. And later on, we're going to explain that it doesn't mean touching. Once it says by one, we apply it to the others. Again, a davar shahay b'chlal, the other. No, not even davar shahay b'chlal. It's a binyan av mikas of echad. In general, that's how the Torah works. The Torah tells us something in one place, and we're meant to understand that it applies to the whole class. Yeah. So b'chol kodesh leitziga, she should not touch kodesh, and we're going to explain later that touching actually means eating. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, Tony Bardala, Rabbi Yechanan says that Bardala taught a brisa that says we know it from Asya Tumase Tumase. We make Xer Shava from the word Tumase. Here it says in the pasuk we just quoted that a person has his tumah upon him and he eats kodshim, then he gets kodesh. Uchsiv Hasim, and you have a pasuk elsewhere by a person who goes into the Beis Mikdash Tomei. It says Tomei Yia Oy Tumase Boy. It says he is Tomei, his tumah is yet within him. Meaning, malahalan onesh v'azhara, just like going into the Beis Hamikdash, we establish that there is an onesh and there is an azhara, when he told me, afkan onesh v'azhara, the same thing. Zera Shava teaches us that there is an azhara as well for eating kodshim when he told me.
Zera is with the word tumah?
Is it by the Zera Shava from the word tumasei. Therefore, once the Torah tells us that tumasei, that the tumasei implies kodesh, and it says there, oh tumasei boy, and it implies, and over there, we know there's an onesh and an azhara, so the same thing over here. So the question is, I can understand why Rish Lakish does not accept Rabbi Yechanan's understanding, because Gzeira Shava Lagomer, he didn't learn this particular Gzeira Shava from his Rebbe. As we know, many times a person can't learn a Gzeira Shava on their own. You have to have learned it from your Rebbe. Rabbi Yechanan had learned it from his Rebbe. Rish Lakish had not. Therefore, Rish Lakish can't accept that limud.
Isn't it interesting all these times? Rabbi Yochanan was Rish Lakish.
Rabbi Yochanan taught Rish Lakish, but he wasn't Rish Lakish's only teacher. Rish Lakish also learned, I don't remember who Rambam mentions in Akdama to Yad HaChazaka. He says, I think that Rish Lakish learned by Rabbi Hoshia or by I forget who else, but whatever. Rabbi Yechanan taught Rish Lakish a lot, but he wasn't his only Rebbe.
But he made him brought
him. He brought him.
Yeah,
Tosfos mentions that elsewhere, that Rish Lakish was originally from.
So that's why he had teachers.
He may have had teachers beforehand also. Could be. Yeah. Whatever it is.
He learned by Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda.
Not Rabbi Yehuda.
By who?
Rish Lakish learned by Rabbi Yechanan, it's true. But he also learned by other people. Whatever it is, Rish Lakish did not learn that Kavach Haimer from his Rebbes. So fine, Rabbi Yechanan, you learned it from your Rebbes of the previous generation. I didn't. I'm not obligated to accept it. I shouldn't accept it because I didn't learn it.
It might be that when Rabbi Yochanan found him, he already had learned Torah, and so therefore he learned his all of Kavach Haimer. There are Shabbos, and then he just sharpened his wit.
All right, could be. Anyway. Ever Rabbi Yechanan my time only on the Rish Lakish. The question is, why doesn't Rabbi Yechanan use Rish Lakish's limud? It's a much simpler thing to learn straightforward from a pasuk rather than to use Gzeir Shava. The answer is Amalach. Rabbi Yechanan can answer you as what? Hahu as order l'truma. You're thinking that b'chol kodesh leisiga means she's not allowed to touch or eat kodeshim. No, the word kodesh in that pasuk actually means truma. Means she's not allowed to touch truma.
How do we know it's just truma? Just truma.
Elsewhere in Parshas Emor, the Torah has the whole section over there at the beginning of Perek Chavez of Vayikra, where the Torah tells us that a Kohen is not allowed to eat Kodesh while he's Tomei, and Kodesh over there means truma. So everybody agrees. Not touching. Right.
How do we know it excludes over there?
Because we learn it from all, the Gemara learns in Yavamos based on various Lemudim over there. But that's how it is. That's when it says over there that he's not allowed to eat, but it doesn't mean Kodeshim, it means Truma. Another v'chol lo yechal kodesh, v'chol zor lo yechal kodesh, also means truma v'zor kodeshim. He doesn't pay back. He doesn't pay back with keren v'chomish or whatever. But if he eats truma, he does.
But of course, a kohen cannot eat kodeshim
while he's talking. But that's a different thing. But that those psukim over there are talking about truma. Are talking about truma. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says on the same logic over here that when it says v'chol kodesh leisig, I mean truma. Fine. Where is Rish Lakish going to learn the din that a Yoldis is not allowed to touch Truma because she'll make a tame? The answer is Nafkalim. Ish Mizera Aaron Ruizav. He says we learn it from the pasuk that in that section in Emor when it discusses Truma, it says any man or any person from the descendants of Aaron who is a Tzarua, who has Tzaraas or Izav or is a Zav. So when it says Mizera Aaron, Ezehu Dovashu Shova Bizarra Shal Aaron, what kind, and this is actually one of the Lemudim that the Gemara uses in Yavamos over there to say that this whole section is talking about Truma. What kind of thing is it that all descendants of Aaron equally are allowed to eat, both men and women, Hebeyom is a Truma? You must say it's Truma. Because when it comes to Kodshim, first of all, you have Kodshim, which only male Kohenim are allowed to eat, wives and daughters of Kohenim are not, so it's not all descendants. And second of all, even among Kodshe Kalim, we learned back in Yavamos that if a woman, for example, has been married to a Yisrael or a Levi and had children with him, she's not allowed to eat Truma. But if her husband died or divorced her, and her children, then she didn't have any children, or her children have died, she has no descendants, that's what we're talking about, then she's allowed to go back to eating truma, but she's not allowed to go back to eating because of a shayk. She's not allowed to go back to eating the kohenim's portions of kodshim kalim. So we see that kodshim kalim does not apply across the board to all of Zera Aaron. Therefore, we see that it can only apply to truma. So therefore,
any woman who is separated from a bat kohen from her husband eat kachim or never, it can never apply.
So if she's a bat kohen, if she married a kohen, fine. If she married a Yisrael or a Levi, she's never allowed again to eat the Kohenim's portion of the Korbanos. Mm-hmm. If she's childless and widowed or divorced, she's allowed to eat. She's allowed to eat truma again,
but not
kachim. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, so you have a pasuk there that says that the person is Tzarua Izov. And a Yodis is in the same category as Izov, basically. So therefore, that's it. So you don't need the words V'chol Kodesh Le'Siga to teach us that she's not allowed to eat Truma. We already know she's not allowed to eat Truma from the pasuk in Emor. The Idach, what would Rabbi Yochanan answer to that? Ha'ul Achila V'chol V'Negiya. Fine, that pasuk in Parshas Emor is talking about eating. The pasuk in Parshas Tezria is talking about touching. V'chol Kodesh Le'Siga. Different things. So therefore, you need it for that. You still need it to teach us that she can't touch truma. Nothing about that she's not. Nothing about that she's not allowed to eat kodesh.
Well, to eat when you cannot touch.
Right? Again, it can be fed into that. It can be fed into your mouth. Rish Lakish, hay b'chol kodesh leisiga l'hachiyu da'asa. So fine. What is how can Rish Lakish say that the words b'chol kodesh leisiga come to teach us that a yodas who is tame is not allowed to eat kodshim? Where Rish Lakish is saying after all that it means kodshim. Are you telling me that it means that? Hahumi boiler the tame shenaga b'kodesh. Don't we need that for the different din of a tame who touches kodesh? Does he get malchus or not? Is that, when we say b'chol kodesh leisiga, is that an issur on a person who is tame to touch kodshim? To make them tame?
Or not.
So, Rish Lakish, d'itmar, as we have a discussion, tame shenaga b'kodesh, if a tame touches kodesh, Rish Lakish am a loiker, Rabbi Yochanan am a ene loiker. Rish Lakish says he gets malchus, Rabbi Yochanan says he does not. Rish Lakish am a loiker because b'chol kodesh leisiga. That's it. Pasuk says she should not touch kodesh. That's it. She's high malchus. Rabbi Yochanan on the aim like because again, how has her la truma udasa? Because again, Rabbi Yochanan says that's talking about truma, not kodeshim. So the question is, therefore,
to talk about this.
No. So the question, well, the Gemara is going to say soon it might, but at the moment we don't know that. So therefore, the Shlokish is using the word b'chol kodesh leisiga already to teach us that you're chayav malchus for touching truma. How can he, for touching kachim, how can he also use it to teach us that you're chayiv malchus for eating kachim? Again, they're not necessarily the same thing. Eating doesn't necessarily imply touching.
Because a kavachana wouldn't apply here.
Yeah, in ancient minadin. In ancient minadin. Yeah. And besides, again, it doesn't necessarily apply because you can eat without touching. You can be fed into your mouth. Yeah. The answer is, Tomish and Noga Bakodesh, Midapke Rachmana Balosh and Nagia. Yes, but the answer is, it's true. It is referring to touch. It is referring to eating. But because the Torah phrases it in but using the word touching, azhara la'oichol. Therefore, it comes to teach us that it is an azhara for eating as well. In other words, if the Torah wanted to say she shouldn't eat kodshim, it would have said, v'chol kodesh la'soichol. The fact that the Torah uses the word la'siga means that it's both. It means that it's touching or eating.
From the
fact that the Torah uses the fact that the Torah uses the word tiga, which means touching, teaches us therefore that it means touching, but it also means eating.
Uh-huh.
And itkush kodesh lemikdash. And what it is we have now the Torah mentions in this same pasuk kodesh and mikdash. It says v'chol kodesh leisiga ve'al mikdash leisavod. Therefore, it makes a hekesh, which, as the Gemara is going to say soon, that there has to be therefore a there has to be a similarity between kodesh and mikdash. With mikdash, what would make her with mikdash if she were to go into the best mikdash while she's tamei, she would be chayiv kares. Therefore, when we say b'chol kodesh leisiga, also has to be something that would make her chayiv kares. You can't be chayiv kares just for touching kodeshim. You'll be chayiv malchus, Rosh Hashanah says, but not kares.
Oh,
so therefore, in other words, we have both. The fact that it says lo siga implies touching, but the fact that the pasuk continues ve'al mikdash lo sagoi, implying it has to be something which is chayiv kares, means we must be talking about eating. Because only eating kodshim when you're talking about chayiv kares, touching them would not. So it's one or the other. So Rosh Hashanah would say we learn both. We learn that if you touch kodshim when you're talking about chayiv malchus. We also learn that if you eat them when you're talking about your chayiv kares, you have both.
But because of what?
Because on the one hand it says leisiga, which means touching, right. And therefore that's it. You take the pasuk at face value, b'chol kodesh leisiga, don't touch kodeshim, and if you do, your chayiv kares, chayiv malchus rather, chayiv malchus. Number two, because it says what kind of tiga is also the kind of elam mikdash leisavei, the kind which is similar to going to this mikdash, which makes you chayiv kares, therefore it means that the tiga must be eating. Because only eating can you be chayiv kares for, touching you can't. So Rabbi Yehonatan, so Rosh Lakish said you can learn both from him. Okay, the question is, v'akati l'hochi u'da'asa. Still though, are you telling me that that pasuk v'chol kodesh le'siga is coming to teach us that din? L'hochi u'da'asa, ha'humi bo'ile, you need it for a different din. We're using this pasuk v'chol kodesh le'siga to teach us yet another din. L'tomei sh'ocha b'sar kodesh l'fnei zrikas domim. Suppose a person who is tamei, they eat meat from kodshim, but the difference is, the wrinkle is that here it was before the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach. So if it had been after the blood was sprinkled, there's no question, no chayiv kares. Here it was before the blood was sprinkled, so nobody is allowed to eat from it yet. What are they chayiv? The itmar, and in fact, we have a discussion. Tamei sh'ocha b'sar kodesh l'fnei zrikas domim, Rish Lakish amal loiker, Rabbi Yechon amal ene loiker. Rish Lakish says he gets malchus, Rabbi Yechon says he does not. Rish Lakish amal loiker. Rish Lakish says he gets malchus because the whole kodesh leisiga. It says you should not touch, or we just said eat any kodesh. Doesn't matter what the status of the kodesh is. Loishna lefnezuk, loishna lachazrika. Yeah, doesn't matter before or after. It was shefted as kodesh. It's already been shefted as a korban. So therefore you're chayav. Doesn't matter whether it's before or after zikah. Rabbi Yechonon amar ein loike, and the reason is Rabbi Yechonon l'taimei. Rabbi Yechonon goes according to his own svara in saying you don't get malchus because the amar krot tumase tumase. Because we said before that Rabbi Yechonon had said. Learned the concept that you chayiv the concept that that a person is chayiv, the iser the azhara we said how do we know that a person whose tummy is not allowed to eat kodshim? Rabbi Yechonon had said before we don't learn it from the pasuk v'chol kodesh leisiga that Rish Lakish used we learned it rather from a gzeirah shava the tumasei tumasei. And the amakrot tumasei tumasei, the pasuk says tumasei, the chiktiv tumasei la'achazrika u'dichtiv. Now when does tumasei apply? When is it that the Torah is saying that if a person eats meat of korbanos, ritum also olav, that he gets kares? That only applies la'achaz rita. How do we know that? So Rashi brings from Torah's Koyanim and also from a Gemara in Menachos that says, because the pasuk says like this, called Tahor Yechabo, so anybody who's Tahor can eat the meat of the korban. And then the next pasuk continues, but if somebody is Tomei, ritum also olav, v'nichrusa. Implying, when do we say that a person is chayav kares for eating from the meat of the kodshim when they're tamei? Only if the status of the korban was such that a tahor would have been allowed to eat from it. If it's before zrikas dam, tahor is not allowed to eat from it either. Therefore, no kares for the one who eats it, who eats it when he's tamei. Yeah. So Rabbi Yochanan says, therefore, on that basis alone, we see that you don't get kares for it. Yeah. And therefore, if you don't get
tahor,
because the Torah would have a different history for it. The Torah might well get malchus on the basis of a different pasuk, but you're not going to say therefore that the tomei is going to get kares for it, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says he's not going to get malchus either.
The tomei will not get it because
the tumaser doesn't apply. The whole concept of the tumaser, that he being tomei is not allowed to eat korbanos, that only takes effect when kol tahor yechabo. So when it's a point where the tahor would have been able to eat from it, then the tomei is not. He was
before
the
zrikas dam.
Then the tomei is not chayav malchus. So the point is that. The point is that Rish Lakish, therefore, is using the word b'chol kodesh le'sigah to say that any kind of kodesh, you chayav malchus for eating when you're tamei, regardless of lifnei zrika or la'achaz zrika. So he's using it for that din. How does he have it available? Teach us the din that we said before, that you're not allowed to eat kodshim when you're tamei, and then if you do, you get malchus. If he's using it specifically to teach us this case over here.
Right.
The answer is ahim b'chol kodesh nafka. Yes, but you have the word b'chol. You have, in other words, there's three different things now we can learn from the pasuk. Number one, the fact that it says tiga, meaning you're not allowed to touch it. Number two, the fact that it says b'chol kodesh le'tiga ve'alamikdash le'tzavah. So from b'chol, we learn it applies to all kodeshim, whether before or after zuka. From le'tiga, we learn it means don't touch it, and if you do, you chayav malchus. And from ve'alamikdash le'tzavah, we mean also don't eat it, don't do something which will make you chayav kares in the same way that going into this mikdash tameh will make you chayav kares. Therefore, we can learn all three things from the one pasuk.
Right.
Tanya Kava said the Rish Lakish. In fact, we learn a braisa that agrees with Rish Lakish, that we learn the azhara from B'chol Kodesh Le'Sigah rather than from Rabbi Yechon and Zed Shava. The braisa says B'chol Kodesh Le'Sigah azhara lo'ichol. When it says that she should not touch any Kodesh, that means that she's not allowed to eat. After Omer azhara lo'ichol, so you're saying it means you're only on azhara, you're not allowed to eat. Oyenel azhara l'negeya, maybe it only means you're not allowed to touch it. It says she shouldn't eat, she shouldn't touch kodesh, and she shouldn't come into the Beis Mikdash. Makish kodesh l'mikdash. Therefore, we make a hekish between the kodesh and the mikdash. Ma mikdash davar sheshman etilos neshama. Just like going into the mikdash involves taking away the life, because if a person tamei goes into the Beis Mikdash, the chayav kares, and the life is taken away. Afkol davar sheshman etilos neshama. Therefore, the b'chol kodesh l'tziga also has to mean something which would involve etilos neshama. Even Nagia, now if you're talking about touching, Mi'ik and Tilos Neshama, there isn't any Tilos Neshama. A person is not Chayv Kares for touching Kodshim when they're Tomei.
So
El Ba'achila, it has to mean eating.
Eating
Chayv Kares. So the Braisa supports, so out of the three, supports the one thing of Rish Lakish actually. We had three different dinim that Rish Lakish said over here. One is that we learn the Azhara from the B'chol Kodesh Le'Sigah. A second one we said was Rish Lakish said that if a tamei touches kodesh, then they get malchus. And the third one was that if you eat kodeshim before the zrika, then you get malchus. The braisa is only supporting the first one of those. The braisa doesn't tell us anything about the other two. And in fact, the halacha is not like Rish Lakish in the other two. Just the one where we learn the limur, because the braisa doesn't support it. And in general, when we have Rabbi Yechanan against Rish Lakish, generally speaking, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. And in fact, not only that, but the braisa is also saying specifically that it can't mean touching because of the hekesh. Therefore, so Rish Lakish wants to say you have both. You have the hekesh to teach us that it means eating, as well as you take a face value b'chol kodesh le'tzigah. The braisa seems to not be saying that. The braisa says it's only one or the other. Therefore, we're left without that, and therefore that's it. Yeah.